Welcome to Hold Up, the podcast where we watch our favorite rom-coms and decide whether they hold up. I'm Carrie Gilbert.
I'm Allison Gilbert. Hang on. Carrie's eating a breadstick. Oh, it's my turn. And you can find us on Instagram at hold underscore up underscore pod and on TikTok at hold up podcast. You can join our Patreon for bonus episodes like this month. It's going to be Irish Wish starring Lindsay Lohan. And I bet it'll be better than the movie we watched. And also just like fun events. And you can now be on our Instagram close friends if you're on our Patreon. So we'll add fun things to that. So just join the Patreon if you're able.
And in May, well, we have April, so we'll do something for April too. But then in May,
Gary's very excited about this.
we're doing The Idea of You, book and movie. Did you see what I put on the story today?
Yes, The Idea of You, for those who aren't as obsessed as Carrie, is the Anne Hathaway, Nicholas Gelsatine, Harry Styles fanfic. We're gonna read the book. Is the book good? Probably not, right?
People fucking loved the book, but also
Okay,
like
well, they also loved Red, White, and Royal Blue, and that wasn't good.
people also I think were like scandalized by it because they were like, oh my God, so spicy. And I feel like for those of us who are deep in the smut, it's gonna be like fine spice, you know, like good spice, but not like,
Like D Spice.
yeah.
I'm on a good book kick right now. But we don't have to talk about that. That's a Patreon conversation.
We do talk about books a lot on the Patreon.
I have 28% battery. What did we watch this week?
Battery's going
My
fast.
computer's very old.
We watched P.S. I Love You, which came out in 2007 and
Sure
stars Hilary
did.
Swank and Gerard Butler and a wild cast of characters, let me
A
tell you.
great supporting cast.
An
Gina
excellent supporting cast.
Gershon.
Gina Gershon, Lisa Kudrow, Kathy Bates, James Marsters.
Who?
He was Spike on Buffy. This is the second week in a
Sure, okay.
row
I
where
can now
we've
picture
had
him. The Allstate chaos guy, Dean Winters.
mayhem. Mayhem.
Mayhem,
Yes.
excuse me.
Also, it was clear that this movie actually filmed in New York because every now and then you'd have like a random New York actor pop
The
up and
guy
you'd be
dresses a
like,
leprechaun, which you did a thumbs up, so did it. Also, we have to talk about the Irish stereotypes, but the guy that came dressed as a leprechaun was the medical examiner from Law and Order SVU who gets killed by Spikey?
Bucky,
Spudsies? What is his name? Ducky?
Spikey, Spike.
I don't think it's
He's a
Spikey.
Broadway actor, Bucky.
Bucky. Everyone's a Broadway actor on Law and Order.
Yeah, and he dated Andrew Rannells for a very long time. Good for him.
Anyway, he plays a leprechaun in
But
this
then
because this is
also
rife with
Mayhem,
Irish stereotypes.
Dean Winters,
The
is
only
also
actual
like a
Irish
New
person in this
York.
movie.
Dean Winters is Irish.
Irish American.
Oh, okay, sure. I was like, wait a second. I have followed that man's career for 20 years and you're telling me he's Irish?
No, but Dean Winters is a iconic New York actor.
Yes.
Lisa Kudrow, did we say Lisa Kudrow? Kathy Bates?
Kathy Bates, yes.
Harry Connick Jr.
Lisa Kudrow and Gina Gershon were the best part of this movie for me.
Hands down. Give me 2 hours of them in Ireland because Hilary Swank
Yes.
was so fucking annoying. I wrote, so neither of the lead men in this movie are Irish, even though they're meant to be, which begs the question, you have Gerard Butler. Can we not just make him Scottish and make the whole movie Scottish? Like, can we not just send him to Scotland? I'm confused as to why we're forcing
Yes.
Gerard Butler to do an Irish
Okay,
accent, which
so
he thinks is just calling people love. Now, I want to be clear. My best friend Anne's family is Irish, and do her aunts refer to everyone as love? Yes, but that's not all it is. You know, you can't like do that and get away with it. Is it part of it? Sure.
no, the book, this is based on a book. I read the book.
You did? For this?
No, not for this. I read it years and years ago. It's better than the movie, not surprisingly.
I've written books better than this movie.
The book takes place entirely in Ireland. Everybody is Irish. I think the author of the book is Irish herself.
Right, her
And
name is
so,
like Claire McLeprechaun or something.
right. Yes. So the book, like everyone is Irish and they live in Ireland. There's no America in the book.
Oh, God bless.
And so I think when they like Americanized the movie, they were like, oh, well, we should keep the Irish. And truthfully, Gerard Butler did not bother me in this movie. Like, we talk a lot of shit about him, but like, his accent was atrocious, but truly, like, his performance was fine. And
Fine. It's nothing to write home about. You could have done better if you hired any number of my list. You could have done so. Like, where was Colin? I need to know where Colin Farrell was. Rehab? Like, where was Colin Farrell?
Okay, but if you're gonna cast Gerard Butler, like if you in this movie have decided like this is gonna be, again, we're trying to make Gerard Butler a rom-com romance guy, which I don't know why that was ever the choice by his team, but whatever. Make this movie in Scotland.
Scotland.
Like there was no need. I understand you were trying to do honor the book, but once you took it out of Ireland to begin with, like, why keep the Irish at all?
No, it was completely unnecessary. My first choice would have been to hire any other actor, even a non-Irish actor who could have done the accent better. But I have written a list. I do think this was a role. I have to imagine that this movie was developed for Colin Farrell and Sandra Bullock. It's the only way I can move forward. And neither of them were available because Hilary Swank and Gerard Butler
I
are
also
so
kept picturing
bad.
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, Jennifer Garner would have been stunning in this role. Anyone
Yes.
but Swank. You know, I don't buy Hilary Swank as like quirky cute. I don't know
No,
what I buy Hilary Swank
I
as,
didn't.
but
I mean, part of the problem is I don't like the character of Holly
oh,
at
Holly
all.
sucks. She's so
Holly
fucking
sucks.
annoying. She has terrible taste in decor and the shoes she ends up making at the end, absolute garbage, completely ugly. Who's wearing those, Holly?
She's also like a whiny little brat a lot of the time.
The plot
Not,
of this movie
let me be
is
very clear. Like,
she's a whiny brat and she's not a good friend.
let me be very clear that like the this movie is about a woman grieving her husband who she's lost, kind of unexpected. Like, yes, he was sick,
Long sickness because he had
but
time to
I
plan this atrocious and cruel, borderline abusive thing he does for her.
Wow, we need to talk about that. That was not my take, but okay.
I'm Team Kathy Bates in this movie.
I don't. I think that like her grief stuff. I don't mean that she's a whiny little brat in terms of her grief.
I
Her
do.
grief is real and fine. But like in her flashback, she is horrible to her husband.
Always complaining
Like,
about them not having enough money. And it's like, bitch, he literally is like, you quit every job you have.
yes, he's like,
Then he
I'm here
tries
to
to
start a
start a
business.
limousine business like an upstanding gentleman. And
And
she's
then like
so mean.
the karaoke scene, like he convinces her to go out, like she doesn't want to be out, and then she decides to karaoke. She's having fun with it, she's enjoying herself, and then she hurts herself, and then like it's his fault because he wanted to go out in the first place. I was like, ma'am,
It's his fault because she's an
what?
annoying klutz. She's also a bad friend. Her best friends, Lisa Kudrow and Gina Gershon. One of them, when they're in Ireland, because they do go to Ireland, one of them gets pregnant, or one of them says she's pregnant, and Lisa Kudrow says she's marrying Dean Winters, and she's like salty about it, she's like sad, which I get. Like, your husband died and your friends' lives are moving on, and like you're in grief. Great. You put on a fucking smile for your friends, and then you go cry by yourself. You don't, and then she like stops calling her friend in the middle of her friend's wedding planning. And then Lisa Kudrow like kind of calls her out for this and then is immediately like, no, it's fine. I'm a bitch. Like, no, Lisa Kudrow, you're not. You're allowed to have your own day. Holly's a bad
Yeah.
friend. I would
Yes.
have liked her more had she been played by a Garner or a Bullock and had her love interest been Colin Farrell and Chris O'Dowd, which is who I think her present day love interest should have been. Because I know you love Jeffrey Dean Morgan, but his accent is not better.
Well, it's better in the sense that he's trying.
That's true. Gerard Butler is just saying love, and every now and then he'll be like, yay, da-da-da-da. And like we're supposed to think that's Irish. Jeffrey Dean Morgan attempts it and sounds like someone doing a leprechaun impression. So there's that. We needed to
Yeah,
hire real
listen,
Irish
I am
people. They
not
also.
going to be an apologist for.
You waiting for me? You waiting for you?
I will not be an apologist for Jeffrey Dean Morgan's Irish accent. I will be an apologist for Jeffrey Dean Morgan in general, because this is like Denny Duquette era Jeffrey Dean Morgan,
Sure.
and
He
he's,
deserved, Denny Duquette deserved better.
well, sure, but he's so adorable. And
He does nothing in this movie.
no, he does nothing in this movie. He literally has like very little purpose. I'm not even sure why we like have the scene at the end where it's like, well, maybe they'll end up
Maybe they'll get
together.
together. Is he's like the first, he she like meets him in Ireland and he was in her husband's Irish band and she sleeps with him, but she's like very awkward. Like I would not have slept with her. Like very awkward
No,
in this. She's
I
like,
could not, like, I don't know why he was like, no, yes, let's please have sex.
no, I didn't understand his attraction to her at all. But he also like doesn't really have a personality except he's just like Irish singing guy, which I want to be so clear. I lived in Ireland for one summer and I can't stress enough what Irish singing guy can do for a woman's want to sleep with him. Like it takes you so far. You know what I mean? Like
Right.
someone starts singing Galway Girl at me, I'm getting naked. Like that's I'm not judging. His Irish accent, like it was too much sort of that's why it needed to be Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah. But also, like, man who can sing, Irish accent aside, like, man who can sing does so much, period. Proof is Harry Connick Jr. Because I kept watching this movie thinking, Harry
Why are we
Connick
attracted
Jr.
to
is a
him?
really, really kind of weird looking dude.
They also
And
made
we
him
just,
weirder looking as.
sure. But also, like, we all just kind of in the 90s, like, decided, like, because he could sing and was like charming, that we were like, no, that guy's hot. And then you look at him and you're like, is
Yeah,
he
like why are
though?
your eyes shaped like that? He also is playing someone who clearly has autism, but they're not saying autism, but they also don't understand autism because it's just like, well, he says mean things to women. And it's like, it's not what autism is. That's not what
That's
that
not what
is.
that is. Yeah.
This is problematic on many levels, not the least of which is he's just saying cruel things, and people are being like, "Ugh, well, he's autistic." What?
Like, that's not how that works.
Autistic people can also be kind. I don't know. I thought Harry Connick Jr. was an unnecessary like story wrinkle.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I
she's a
again,
bad friend, and I don't understand Jeffrey Dean
I have
Morgan's
not read the
purpose.
book in probably, I haven't read the book in probably 20 years, but I don't remember the Harry Connick Jr. existing. Like, I
I
think that
forgot
that
until I
was
started
the
rewatching.
movie edition, or it was a very different character.
It's weird to have a movie so deeply about Ireland with no Irish, like not an Irish person in sight. Like even behind the scenes, they kept saying grand wrong. In Ireland, your grand means like you're good, you're fine. You say like, how you doing? I'm grand. Or like someone bumps into you and they say sorry and you're like, oh, you're grand love. Like it means like NBT, you're fine. And this, they kept using it to mean like amazing. And it's like, that's not what that word means. Like, not an Irish person involved.
Kathy Bates, I think, was probably the most Irish person in this cast.
She owns an Irish pub
Yes,
and
in America.
is in New York
America.
and is Hilary Swank's mother. Hilary Swank also has a sister that has no point. They don't let her come to Ireland, which is someone who's friends with you. And friends with your friends, which like seemed like the relationship between these two sisters. Like, if God forbid, knock on wood, Jeff were to pass and he were to have sent you on an international vacation to cope and didn't and only got a ticket for like Melissa, Jamie, and Sarah and didn't give me a ticket. Well, he and I are gonna have words in the afterlife, babe. Jeff, when you do this for Carrie, first of all, don't because it's borderline abusive, but do the trip thing, but don't do the rest of it. You better get me a ticket, bitch.
I did, speaking of, I kept crying.
This is the first time
Like,
I've ever watched this movie
when
and didn't cry.
I kept crying, I was like, I'm not even really enjoying this movie. And yet certain things kept making, and like, because it mean, because there are parts of this that are, like, there, you were shitting on this movie and there are lots of issues with this movie, but there are parts of this movie that are
Poignant.
beautiful and really truly about, like, how do you, as somebody who thought you were going to be with this person forever and you had this whole life planned out with this person and that ends before you're 30, And before he's like he's basically 35, like how does that adjust your life? And those pieces of this movie, I think, are the most interesting, most moving parts of this movie. Now, this movie is a little bit like emotional manipulation porn, a la This Is Us, if you will.
There are aspects of the grief, and I like usually I when I've watched this movie in the past, and I haven't watched it since my early mid 20s probably, but I would like I knew it was bad, I knew I didn't like it, but I would watch it because Ireland is pretty and I would cry. I didn't cry once in this watch. And there are aspects of like it felt like, and I don't know whether this is the case or not, I don't know anything about the writer, who's the writer director, or the woman who wrote the book, but it felt like grief written by someone who'd never lost anyone. Like the grief didn't, it felt sort of stereotypical. It felt sort of like first thought grief.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like we've watched other things, like Sleepless in Seattle comes to mind, but we've watched other things that have dealt, even like Celeste and Jesse Forever, which is not about grieving a death, but grieving a marriage, like that I think talked about and represented grief in more honest and realistic ways. And this was just like, she can't get out of bed. She's not showering. She's not checking her mail. Like, and not that that can't be an aspect of grief, but that's sort of like what all this was. It
Right.
just didn't. I think you're right. I think there was a part of me that was like, I'm being emotionally manipulated. And like, I know that this isn't what grief is. Like, there is something there to her friends. One of her friends is pregnant. One is getting married. Her husband is dead. But it was handled so sort of like she was just a bad friend rather than like her trying to be a good friend and failing because she doesn't have the capacity that I just didn't
Right.
buy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that this movie, again, I think that part of the problem is this movie's trying to do a lot. Like,
So long, it's way too long.
it's wait, first of all, the book, again, I think the book is better because books are often better because you can be more like interior. I don't mean like books in general are better than movies. I just mean like often book versions of a story tend to have more detail.
Like a
This felt
book's
like,
medium is prose and a movie's medium is visual.
right.
So a book
And
should only be made into a movie if we can see its value visually.
yes. And I remember the book being far more focused on the grief journey piece. This, like, I think was trying to do the grief plus a romance plus two romances
Two
plus,
romances.
you know, plus it just, there was too much happening. I think if this movie, and so a lot of the grief aspect is very superficial, right? And there's nothing superficial about grief. Grief is such a complicated, messy emotion that to appropriately explore it in a film, you have to like really give it some space. And this, it does not have, it does not adequately give it the space to do that. There are hints of that. Like we start to get that. I'm trying to remember, there was one, oh, I know, like right after she goes home after his funeral or his wake or memorial, and she's like
Irish
alone
Wake.
in her apartment for the first time and like just doesn't kind of know what to do with herself and falls asleep like listening to his voicemail over and over like that. Not even
Stop thumbs
bringing that
upping. Yeah.
up. That felt like a very real thing, right?
Yes.
Like that felt like a like that moment felt. And so again, like there are hints of these things that feel really accurate, and but they're
We move
never
away
quite
from them
like,
really quickly.
yeah, like we never quite get into like the messiness of grief.
We also never talk about the like tonal dissonance of grief. We've talked about this with Practical Magic and we've talked about this with Sleepless in Seattle, but the like, and we've talked about this with our own experiences with grief. It's that like you laugh and there, and this for a podcast that talks about romantic comedies, like, I do feel like this is billed as a comedy, and there is only, and like, it's not like Gina Gershon and Lisa Kudrow are there to serve comedy, but like the movie, like, we're not watching her. I think a big part of grief is experiencing joy and then realizing you're experiencing it without the person you've lost. And a big part of grief is like going through life and going through things that would otherwise make you happy, and then having this like gut-wrenching feeling of a person not being there. It's also like, and you and I are kind of, dark-hearted people, but it's also like the things we find funny in death. And none of that is really there. Like all the humor comes from Gina Gershon and Lisa Kudrow, and it's not even really in the, like, their lines aren't funny. They're just sort of naturally funny people. There's one line that makes me laugh, and it's when they get to the house in Ireland and he's left letters for Gina Gershon and Lisa Kudrow. And again, like, fucking Holly is such a pain in the goddamn ass. She's like, well, he didn't leave a letter for me. It's like, he's written you like several letters, and he just wrote beautifully about you in his letters to your best friends. Like, fucking chill for a minute. But then Lisa, she says like, oh, he didn't leave me a letter. And Lisa Kudrow is like, well, he must have loved us more. And that's the only time I like chuckle in this movie. Because the other
We
attempts at
also
grief
get
are
like,
like, or the other attempts at humor is like, Harry Connick Jr. has autism, which is like, he's just, it's not reading funny. It's just reading weird.
the other thing about like when they first arrive in Ireland is we get this moment where Gina Gershon's like, okay, you guys get the luggage, and like Lisa Kudrow and Hilary Swank are like, this fucking bitch, like, she packed the most, and like it
Such
felt
a
like a
common girls trip with your
It
friends.
felt like a, yes, like a very genuine, like, oh, this is actually like how female relationships play out. But again, like, that was it. That was the only moment when I, in like all of their interactions, where I was like, okay, this feels
Like three
real.
friends. I didn't buy the friendships. I didn't buy the any of the romances, including her marriage. I was like, why are you guys married? Seems like maybe you shouldn't be. You fight a lot.
Because you thought each other was hot when you were 19 and like 23. And
And
it's like,
again,
I'm not.
like, I can't stress meeting someone in Ireland and thinking they're hot. Look, I've been there, Hillary. We've all met a guy in Ireland and thought he's hot. But then we go home, Then we go home. I
And
fell in love
like
with an
all the parents were like, maybe you guys shouldn't get married. And it's sort of like, yeah, maybe they shouldn't
What if
have.
I had come home? I came home from Ireland with a boyfriend. What if I had been like, we're getting married? You would have been like, no, nah, bitch, you were just in Ireland and he
No,
plays guitar. Like,
right.
literally, like, I relate to this so deeply. I shouldn't have married that. I didn't marry that man. And thank goodness.
Right.
Unless you're listening, sir, in which case
If
we had
you
a lovely
fall
time
in
together
love in
15 years ago.
Europe, you have to come home and test it out, because Europe is blind, makes you blind. I tell, like, we've all been
We've
there.
all been there. I fell in love with a gay guy in Ireland once. He had an Irish accent and we played lovers in a scene together.
It happens.
And I was like, this is the man of my dreams. And he was like, do you want to go scoping for men? And I was like, ugh, sure. He would have been great in
Okay.
either one of these roles, better than Gerard Butler or my friend Usheen. It's spelled weird.
Also, I
Ireland.
love that in the flashbacks, particularly like the flashback where we meet, we're supposed to believe that Hilary Swank and Gerard Butler are 19 and 20,
The
whatever,
work we're doing,
23.
we like put a terrible wig on him and like a lot of makeup to be like, don't. The fact that we were supposed to believe they were 30 and 35 is laughable, right? Like mid late 30s to 40,
How
right? Like
old
those
is this
people,
movie?
2007, Hillary Swank was not 30.
No, she was not. She was probably in her mid to late 30s.
Also, like her plan, like even like, let alone like the fact that these people have wrinkles, but like, her playing 19 was so false. It was just like giggles a lot and wears a lot of color. I was like, this isn't, look, I now work in a Madewell, I now work with the children. This isn't how they behave.
It was, yeah.
Oh, he has shamrock boxers because, of course, he does.
Yeah.
Irish people are proud of their heritage, but they're not like that proud of it. They're not like exclusively wearing Irish boxers or shamrock boxers, They dressed him like drunk Americans dressed on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. Yeah.
Her wake
Gina
hairdo was
Gershon
insane.
does
Gina Gershon.
Lisa Kudrow has another really good line when they come to her apartment because like no one can get a hold of her after his wake, and like they come to her apartment and she's like deep in her depressive episode. And they like catch her singing, and one of them says like, "Well, you hadn't been calling us back," and she's like, "Well, I've just been, oh, I'm just really exhausted." And Lisa Kudrow is like, "Well, you, I'm sure you've been doing two shows a
She
night."
shows a night. Yeah,
Gina
Lisa
Gershon
Kudrow.
has another good line that I loved, which is at some point they're like, "What are you gonna do like next or whatever?" And she's like, "Can't I just like stay in my apartment and rot until like, you know, I become old and crazy?" And Gina Gershon's like, "No, your mind is not a luxury for the middle class. You have
I
to be
wrote that
rich to
down.
be insane."
Losing your mind is not a luxury for them. It's really not. We gotta stay sharp, us pavos.
Yes.
Oh, a classic rom-com thing. And one, she puts on lotion before bed.
Yeah.
We love to see it. Kathy Bates is right. I wrote that many times. I also wrote,
Kathy Bates has
she's an idiot. And then I wrote, she's
her
an
moments
idiot.
where
And then
she's
I
right, but
went,
also like she needs to deal with her.
yes, Kathy Bates needs to deal with her generational trauma. But I also wrote, she's an idiot. And then I went to write it again and saw that it was my last note. And so I just wrote, came here to write this again. But that's about Hillary Swank.
Yes. Yeah. Kathy Bates has her points. She's not wrong, but she's also projecting her own emotional baggage onto her child.
Yes,
So
but
again, this is a rom-com where it's like maybe everyone just needs a little bit of therapy.
everyone needs therapy. I also I do think this thing he does is cruel. He writes her this beautiful letter at the end. This letter at
Yeah.
the end is gorgeous. It was like, that just have left her that letter. Like, there is something about, like, I'm gonna keep coming to you for a year after my death, which effectively prevents her mourning, like her processing it for a year. It's cruel. It seems cruel. It like makes her hold on to him and wait for him, and she can't really function. It's like that last letter where you, and it has like great line. It's the only part of this movie where I thought like, okay, this is good writing. It's, and I'm sure it's also from the book, but it says like, you were my whole life and I'm just a chapter in yours. Like, I have felt so blessed to have been loved by you, and now you get to go give that love to somebody else and to other people, and I want you to find what brings you joy and makes you happy. And the line, you made my life, but I was just a chapter in yours, is so good. Have given her that letter, or have given Kathy Bates that letter to give to her right after she died. Send her on a trip to Ireland where they're keeping, like, his parents are so cold and distant. And it's like, we met his parents and they're lovely. Like,
Right.
this movie's anti-Irish. Anyway, this movie was written by British. Am I right? But my point, like, that would, and again, I realized that then we don't have a movie, but it's like, I do think what he does is unkind and unhelpful to her.
It's a
And
little
to what end?
right. Wait, I had a thought. Shoot, I lost it. Hold on.
The last letter, his parents in Ireland.
There's something about the last letter. I'll come back to it. My other thought is like, it's a little bit, we get this, and granted, like she married him at 19. So like she doesn't really know necessarily like how to be on her own, right? Like
Right.
she has never been on her own, but there's something like a little bit infantilizing about like this whole thing is he's like, I'm gonna teach you how to like be on your own because you don't know how. And it's like,
Yes. Oh, his
well,
last letter says something like, you don't need me to tell you what to do. You know how to take care of yourself. And it's like, you haven't been treating her like that.
right. And I do think that like part of what is hard to watch about their relationship is that they like she is very dependent on him. Like she, and again, like I think that maybe this is like borne out a little bit more in the book. Again, I don't really remember, but I just remember feeling like the book was so much more fleshed out. Is like she has her own like trauma from the fact that her dad left. And so she keeps like went in her marriage, like pushing him away, but then like desperately needing him and not really knowing like how to function without him. And this whole like letter project like just sort of reinforces that she doesn't know how to function without him, and she doesn't feel like she knows how to function without him. I don't know. Like, yeah, I do think that that last letter very much feels like what he should have said from the
What he just
beginning.
should have
Oh, I
said.
know what I was gonna say. It reminds me, that last letter reminds me of the article that that woman wrote a handful of years ago when she was dying about, it was like a Who Wants to Date My Husband and like
Don't
all of
remember
these
this. It
wonderful.
sounds heartbreaking.
Oh my God, Allison, I'll have to find it for you.
I don't know. Thank you. Thank you so much. No, thank you.
she was dying and she wrote like essentially like a singles ad for her husband, and it was about like how wonderful he was and how like she wants him to love again and she wants him to move on, and like I'm gonna cry talking about it, and like
Yeah.
how much like love he has, and like she just hopes, you know, like she wants somebody else to be able to experience that and like doesn't want it to end with her death. Oh my God.
Okay. All right. Is this how you tell me you're
Anyway.
sick? I can't handle that.
No, I just like that last letter reminded me of that,
Yeah.
and that is what feels like a true act of love. You know, is like loving someone so much that you are willing to let them like live with, you know, live a life without you
And feeling
is
so like grateful for their love that you want them to give that to somebody else.
right.
Like,
Yeah.
I don't know, but if I was dying, I've made a lot of jokes about like, if I die, you have to only date uglier women than me. And Ben obviously finds me hilarious. But it's also like, no, he's such
Naturally.
a good partner and he's such a good that like, if I were to die, I would hope that my reaction would be like, go give that to someone else because because people deserve your love in this world. And he's just sort of like,
Right.
nah. And Gerard Butler's like, I'm gonna hold on to you for a year. Ah. The thing it reminded me of was the line in About Time, a movie we have not done for this podcast, but we should. Gleason well used. Starring Donald Gleason, who should be in this movie anywhere. Where when they find out his dad is dying, his mother says, I'm wholly uninterested in a life without him. And that one line does, I think, a better job of describing the grief of losing a partner than this entire movie does. And it's a different movie, and it's a di but it's just she's just sort of like, no, I'm not interested in living a life without your father. This sucks.
Yeah.
A better movie that isn't
Yeah.
Irish. This movie
Yeah.
needed to have been written by Richard Curtis, you know?
Sure.
I can't believe she was also planning to go to Ireland and like not visit her in-laws. Like, no wonder they didn't like you.
She's, I mean, okay, so like not to make excuses for her, but like she's immature. Like this is
She's a
somebody, like she
child.
got married when she was 19. She's not really grown up since then.
She wore a sweatband. She wore like a sweatband headband to Lisa Kudrow's wedding. So she's a
There were a
child.
lot of headbands. There were too many
Headbands and
headbands.
the bangs and the chunky belts.
I mean,
It's a
it
fashion
was
we're
2007.
I know, but it's fashion we're barreling
You're
towards. Are you
I was going
frozen
to
or
say something
thinking?
else. No, I was thinking I was going to say.
I am my battery is now on red. We're at
Okay, cool.
10%.
Should we just wrap it up?
If there's more to say.
I've definitely had a lot to say about like the men in this movie, because my notes are like James Marston exclamation Marsters. I don't know how you say his name. James Marsters exclamation point. Love
Not
to see
James
him. I feel like
Marston.
he's like not been around.
Sure, Spike from Buffy.
Harry Connick Jr. is a gem. His character was wildly weird and made no sense. But
Unnecessary.
oh, I know what I was going to say. Okay, hold on. And then I said, JDM, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, ages like a fine wine. Because like he's fine looking in this movie, but like Jeffrey Dean Morgan in 2024 is so much hotter than Jeffrey Dean Morgan in 2007.
Yeah, salt and pepper does him well. Gerard Butler
Oh,
looking worse every
so
day.
good. So good. I know what I was going to say is that I feel like this movie, again, like scratches the surface and like had an opportunity to do some really interesting stuff in terms of like platonic love and like the importance of like platonic love is like Because, and there are elements of it, like she's lost the great romantic love of her life, right? And a lot of what, like, of the people that she ends up relying on, Harry Connick Jr., her girlfriends, her mom, her sister, are these like platonic relationships in her life. And even Harry Connick Jr., like, at one point has feelings for her. She thinks, like, maybe he'll be it, and then they realize, like, no, we don't actually like have chemistry, or we don't actually have like a romantic connection.
Yeah, they should have just made them friends from the outset. I didn't need the romantic whatever.
No, but I think that like the resolution
But I
of
think your point is right.
like I love the resolution of their like, are we gonna be a couple, is like, no, we love each other, but like that's not
Weird,
what
bitter
we
friends.
are. Yeah, we're weird, bitter friends. Like, that's not what we're meant to be to each other. These are both people who are grieving a relationship and grieving a loved one and like rely on each other. And I, again, like there's like we almost get there, but it doesn't quite like do the interesting thing of like exploring the power of platonic love and the power of platonic soulmates and platonic relationships.
And she's not like using her friends who are like trying to, like, the friendships are just sort of them being like, please talk to us and please also be happy that we're getting married. And their relationships aren't well written enough, or maybe it's a chemistry, I don't know, but it's like it never feels, it doesn't give you the feeling that like Meg Ryan and Carrie Fisher have in When Harry Met Sally, or like Whoopi
Yes.
Goldberg and Angela Bassett
Or
have in How
even
Stella Got Her Groove
like,
Back, like those like deep friendship love sub stories in rom-coms. This one,
right.
which had like all the opportunity for it because he's dead the whole movie, never really used.
And like the one that came to my mind, and again, like this is not a property without its problems. We've talked about it here on it on this podcast, but like in Sex and the City, in the first movie where like she gets left at the altar, kind of, sort of. I don't know how to
Fully,
turn
she
off the
fully gets
thumbs
left at the
up.
altar
She gets left at the altar,
when
but
Charlotte beats
like,
the shit out of him with her purse.
yeah, and like the grief that she's in when they go to Mexico, and like the way that the three of the other three women, like, that has all of the like aspects of, for all of its faults, Sex and the City knew how to write like female
Friendships.
relationships and friendships. And that kind of series of scenes had all of like the things that we're talking about this movie missing.
The only time I got close to crying was at the wake, but it was manipulated because they were playing Fairy Tale in New York.
Yeah,
Also,
sure.
which I can't listen to Fairy Tale in New York without weeping. It's a perfect and beautiful song. Also, every person at this Irish wake, when they get to the use of the F word in that song, you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy bleep, was like aghast. And I was like, you're an Irish pub. You're not, please don't, like, what kind of fucking Irish pub doesn't know what the lyrics to Fairy Tale in New York is?
Right.
You know,
Yes.
like, you know what the song, and they're like, Jerry, what a scamp. And it's like, this movie uses a lot of Irish classic Irish folk songs, and they ruin them by having either Gerard Butler or Hilary Swank sing. At the end, they play If I Ever Leave This World Behind by the Flogging Mollies, and it's the only time it I was like, finally, we don't have to listen to Hilary Swank sing. Oh, but it is the month where I listen to exclusively Irish music or music that makes me think of Ireland. Like, I put on my St. Patrick's Day playlist yesterday after I watched this movie. It's like the second song it played after the Southside Irish song was Samantha Mumba. And I was like, oh, right, I forgot I put a lot of Samantha Mumba on here. Respecting our great Irish artists.
Yes. I did think that it was really funny that she was like, we can barely move in this apartment. And I was like, ma'am, you have this
Huge
apartment in New
apartment.
York?
The size of my apartment in
Enormous.
LA, like a huge
I
apartment.
was like, how does this like out of work woman and this limo driver afford this beautiful,
On the Lower
expansive
East
apartment on the
Side.
Lower East Side? What? Ma'am, what?
My ideal casting of this movie would have been Colin Firth and Chris O'Dowd at the time. I
Colin
also think you're
Farrell.
Colin Farrell, excuse me. Colin Farrell and Chris O'Dowd. I do think you're right. If we made it today, it would be Donald Gleason and Paul Mescal. Paul,
Yes.
maybe they're both too clean cut. I guess it would be Paul Mescal as Gerard Butler and Donald Gleason as the new guy. I also think we, Cillian Murphy was right there. Truly, any Gleason, like I would take Papa Gleason because I find him very attractive. I think a different movie, we get Gabriel Byrne, we get Liam Neeson. They're both there and available. And now you throw Barry Keoghan in the mix. There are plenty of choices. The hot priest, Andrew Scott. There are so many, like,
Andrew Scott.
Ireland per capita must
I
produce
had
more
that
hot
thought too.
men.
I feel like Andrew Scott would have been could now be an interesting choice.
Like, Ireland is a very small country, and I feel like per capita they produce more hot men than anyone else. It's got to be up there, you know what I mean? Like, and like, so why did we hire Jeffrey Dean
Sure.
Morgan and Gerard Butler? I don't get it.
Yeah, they were odd choices. Or take the Irish out of this movie.
Make
You
it
know what I mean?
Scotland.
Like,
Just make it Scotland. And then the other
right.
guy can be played by what's his face? You know what I'm talking about.
John Hamm.
Thank you. Wow, are we sisters?
Is that really who you meant? Because
Yes.
yes. That, I mean.
Oh, at one point I just wrote this movie is sick and I don't know why. But I stand by it.
Yeah, I don't, I've never loved this movie, if we're being honest. It's never really done it for me.
My thought last night was I would rather have watched Leap Day, Leap Year, Leap whatever. And next year we're going to watch The Commitments. I don't think The Commitments is a rom-com, but we're still going to watch it.
Interesting. Would I rather watch Leap Year? Hard to say.
I think Leap Year, it's dumb. You can go back and listen to our episode. It's not good, but at least it's like, it's got a lot of rom-com tropes, like staying in an Airbnb, you have to stay at the same inn. It feels like an Irish person was involved in the making of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I always enjoy like an Amy Adams romp, you know.
Amy Adams far more likable than Hilary Swank. So sorry to say.
Yeah, I just don't know that Hilary Swank, and I think she figured this out. Like, I think she course corrected. I don't like rom-coms are not that. I don't even know that this
What
is
is
a
Hilary
rom-com.
Swank's thing, though, you know?
Like Oscar bait, you know. Now
Like
Christian
back in the
movies, she's
day.
making like Christian propaganda.
Oh, there was a trans joke at the beginning where she talks about who she, the one guy she dated before, Gerard Butler, and Gerard Butler says, "Isn't he a woman now?" And I think Hilary Swank, given what her she holds her Oscar for, should maybe be careful of jokes like that.
Yeah, she just made that like Christian-y like Jesus movie.
Good for her.
You know.
I have 7% left. Is there anything
Okay.
else?
No, I have
But I
nothing
don't
else
want to
to say
rush
about
us to the end. You
PSW.
know, if we have more to say, we can finish
Oh, my
tomorrow.
only other note is that a 6.25% interest savings account doesn't hold up. That doesn't exist in the year of the Lord 2024.
I don't know what any of that means, but I'm happy for any of our listeners that do. Today at work, people were talking about like the things they put money into for their kids' colleges. And I was like, does anyone want to pay off my personal loan?
Yeah, my kids don't have college accounts.
It's like a 569 or something.
529. I have nothing else to say. Allison, what are we watching next?
Next, we are watching His Girl Friday, which I think will be banter filled. Do you not want to do it?
No, that's fine with me. I've never seen it.
All right. But it's banter filled. Ba-uh, go ba-uh. That's what they say on Love Island. He's got good banter.
Great. It'll be a fun journey for all of us.
And join our Patreon to listen to us talk about Irish Wish.
Which is a real mouthful of a title of a movie. Can't wait.
It's the rule juror of our time. Aren't
Uh-huh.
we? Aren't
Yeah.
we lucky to be living in the time of Lindsay Lohan's prime and her comeback? I feel blessed.
Love it.
I feel
Love
blessed to be
it.
an elder millennial. Thank you so much. We love you all. Bye.
Bye.